6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by CanucksHockeyBlog.com and the Full Press Coverage Network. I am Chris at Light Force, joined virtually as always by Anna Forsyth, 8Forsyth03. How's it going, Anna? It's been a spell. I think it's been a month since you and I last hung out together.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, because last episode we had Marissa, Mr. Ignemi from the Seattle Times, who was great. But yeah, it's been a little while. You've moved house.
I have. I'm in boxes still. In fact,
you're in boxes yourself. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, hey, gotta do what I gotta do. The reason my sound may or may not sound good, I have yet to actually get completely set up. Like, we moved this past weekend, and I, like, was up until I don't know what time last night putting together my desk and, like, getting the internet set up and what have you. And I ran out of time. I mean, it happens, right? Like, as can
I've heard it happens.
Yeah, it's just something that happens. So I'm here, though. I mean, it's nice to be back in the saddle. I did thoroughly enjoy your conversation with Marissa, though.
Well, thank you. So did I. Yeah, I thought she was great. Yeah, one of our shorter episodes, but you guys have had some longer episodes to listen to, so you probably wanted the break.
What, 2 hours of us talking with, like, was it, I think John's episode was like
John's
an hour
was
and a half.
Long. Yeah. I think Brock's episode is still probably our longest one. Yeah. That was like 2 hours. But
I've been thinking about that. Like, when we do these long episodes, I feel that you and I enjoy them so much that we just presume our listeners do too.
Yeah. So if that's not the case, maybe don't tell us, but if you want a variety of long and short episodes, maybe let us know that. Because that's what I enjoy. Sometimes when I see an hour and 45 minute podcast on my feed, I'm thinking, oh, gosh. But when you start listening to it, you kind of forget how long
it
is.
Well, yeah. And that's, like, I'll admit, when I was commuting, that type of episode was tough. Because it often would be essentially longer than the commute to and from work, right? So, like, that I totally get. Might be a tough thing to consume. Once in a while, hey, you do it. But now that my podcast listening has evolved where I'm, you know, on my weekend trips to Costco listening to podcasts or whenever it was in my truck or what have you, or, like, going to pick up Baby Force from daycare today where I get to go against traffic and it takes what's normally a 20-minute drive an hour. Some good podcast consumption going there. So,
yeah, I mean, that's the one thing from the pandemic is that usually I'm, like, front and center. I'm at the front desk, so I kind of have to be always on. But now we're working from home. I can listen to podcasts most of the day. Yeah.
Well, this show probably going to go a little bit shorter than most, simply because there's not a whole lot going on in the world of the Vancouver Canucks, and without a guest to sort of dive deeper into, you know, whether it be the Seattle Kraken, Vancouver Canucks, the NHL, hockey culture, whatever it is that we've been talking about over the course of the past few months in the summer, you know, we'll touch on some of the basics. Hockey is coming back soon. I mean, today the rookie camp lineup was released, and that's always a sign of hockey being around the corner. So we might touch on that. There's still some deals to be done. Pod Colson's in town, you know, and Well, vaccinations are a real big deal here in BC, and the Vancouver Canucks and at least one of their players is broaching it pretty darn seriously, so we'll get into that too. Let's rewind. Okay, it's been a month since I was on a show, and I'm kind of surprised that there is still yet no deal for Petey and no deal for Quinn. But then,
yeah, it's
should
like
I be surprised?
They have no respect. They have no respect for our recording schedule, for one.
So what you're telling me is you know that they're going to come out with deals like tomorrow. Like, we're recording Monday night. Tuesday they'll announce it, so his podcast episode is just...
Yeah, and it'll be Tuesday morning, so like before we release, but making our episode out of date. Should you be surprised? I don't know. I mean, apparently Canucks can only concentrate on one deal at once, so maybe they're just like hammering out Petey's deal and then they'll go to Quinn or the other way around. But let's be honest, there's going to be significant juggling to occur to get both these deals signed. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to happen like in the way we want it. We know that for sure now. Like, we can't sign them both to long-term deals. It's just, you know, square peg, round hole won't happen.
Well, they could sign one to a long-term deal.
Yeah, they could. And I don't know if it's the rumors or more just, like, sizing things up and people kind of guessing that it's going to be Quinn on Petey.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was actually, my follow-up was going to be which.
And like, which, and would it be which do I want or which do I think?
Well, I guess, yeah, they could, they're two different questions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, if I had to choose, so this is the difficulty I have. If I had to choose one, I choose Quinn. Only because for me, the blue, like, the blue line has been an Achilles heel for any Canucks team that's been successful. See, to me, that's where, you know, I'm not trying to give up on Petey. I'm not selling him short. I want both.
Yeah.
But then the counter to that is, oh, what are they going to do for offense? I'd have to trust that Brock can sort of fill that void. But then that's a question mark as to what's going to happen when his deal comes up.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think if you're looking at it in isolation and just the players, I would probably marginally pick Pettersson because I do think he's a, like, you know, game-changing talent. Mm-hmm. One of the best players in the NHL. Well,
I was going to say, you don't think Quinn is, but in fairness, Quinn's resume is a little bit shorter than that of Petey.
Shorter, like, fewer opportunities, fewer good talent alongside him, or consistently good talent alongside him. Yeah. But yeah, maybe looking at the state of the team, you do pick Quinn. But yeah, as you say, I want them both. But which do I think is more likely? Again, yeah, I do think it's Quinn, because I think as much as Pettersson loves playing here, he wants to win, and does he want to commit his future to a team that's run by Jim Benning?
Or
does he want to bet him on himself and get a raise in the hope that Canucks turn things around by the time his deal is done?
I know we're a very positive podcast now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I keep forgetting that.
Despite Marissa's attempts to bring us into the negative.
I know.
In the last episode. If, let's say, like, we're all in. Jim's all in. This team's a playoff team next year because they have to be. How much do you think this factors in that if that goes to squirrels, and I was going to say something entirely different, which is why squirrels took its place.
Okay. I was going to say I didn't actually understand it, but just replacing another word beginning with S.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
You'd got to think that, like, Petey specifically, and who he's expressed, I want to play for a team that's going to win, that's competitive, is like, I'm not sure I want to be part of that. Like, that's the part I think that kind of has me wondering. Like, what is a post-gym future? If the, like, again, this is, it's not going to happen. This team's winning the cup next year. This season. Oh, sorry, yeah. Not next season. This season.
Mm-hmm.
But...
because we have to.
Let's say Jim...
let's Jim, say,
Jim
like...
retires with a cup in hand after and decides his career is done. As a GM, and a new GM has to take over. Oh, I wonder how much that factors in.
For sure. But, you know, once you sign that, then, does, like...
do you commit long-term to that?
Yeah. But I think that's such a huge risk on Petey's part to take, that the Canucks are just... somehow, he only has to suffer through one more season of uncertainty. No.
Like, that's the thing, though, is, like, if... heaven forbid this Vancouver Canucks roster is not the Stanley Cup winner that, quote-unquote, we and those who be think it is. Man, if you could just see the air quotes I just dropped there. This team probably goes into a rebuild.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, that's too big a risk, I think.
Yep. And so, like, you know, I don't...
Pedestal.
And I'm not trying to knock the roster here. Like, I think there are some really good pieces. You got a really good core. The problem is that core is going to become so expensive. I don't know how you build around it.
Totally. And I think we'll get into how we see this team a little maybe later on. But because I do genuinely think there's some like exciting forward talent in this lineup. Is it good enough to like? Go all the way? Probably not. And then what do we do?
Take that back.
Oh, sorry.
They're going all the way.
But God forbid they don't. We, like, it's going to blow up in all of our collective faces if they don't win and win soon, because they can't afford to keep this roster together.
Yeah,
and it's such a shame.
You know, we obviously, over the past many episodes, have spoken to, obviously, the guys down the Sound of Hockey. We had Marissa on. And if there's something that they've all sort of outlined, I mean, Andy, I think you could argue he kind of is a Canucks fan, though, you know, more of a Kraken fan now. But even he, sort of, with a lens from abroad, has looked at this team and sort of ascertain that, you know, I'm not sure how this works. And if there's one thing, like, we as Canucks fans or Canucks Twitter or Canucks podcast or whatever side of the Canucks spectrum we get sort of positioned as, we see things through a very specific lens that doesn't necessarily get used by someone like Marissa or John or Darren or whoever. If they're raising these questions, I think they're very fair questions to be asked. And it's not a negative. The realistic point is that this is a flat cap era that we're going to be dealing with. You've got players who are going to make money. They're deservedly able to go and make bank. And the Canucks just can't afford all of them. Like, even if they kept all of them, they don't have enough money left over to then ice a roster.
I mean, to go off the rails briefly, like, there was this huge debate with Lionel Messi going to Paris Saint-Germain this past offseason from Barcelona because they just couldn't afford to keep him. And some people were saying, oh, why doesn't he just play for free? And there is actually, I think, a salary cap in Liga, but the whole point is you have to register a team, you have to register a player, you have to play them, you have to pay them money to play. That's how, like, insurance works, that's how the league works, that's how labor standards work. So, with the best will in the world, you can say that a player's committed to the future and committed to play with the Canucks, but they're not going to take way less than their market value to stay.
Oh.
I mean, like, Bo might. Maybe Brock will if Petey's still around.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like you look at the 2011-2010 team, teams, really. You had players who were willing to take less than they would probably get on the market because they wanted to. They saw this team as having a real, like.
Right, and they were correct.
You know,
that was the best team in the league for at least a season.
Yeah,
they should have won the cup.
Whether it be like Kessler or Bieksa, trying to someone else, but they where it's like even after this run in 2011, we're just gonna use that, we're gonna become even better. Like they perceive that the opportunity to make another run is in front of them, and arguably they could have in the 11-12 season. They walked through a regular season. It was as if they were bored, and then
yeah. I mean, it's so weird to think that the Canucks won the President's Trophy in 2012 as well. Just like, because it was not an exciting season.
No, and they had locked that up. Like I remember that entire season, you know, us sort of going back in the Wayback Machine. It was boring except for Game 8 against the Bruins.
Oh, yeah, but that was great. That is actually one of my best memories, not just Luke. This like that season or well, even in Matt, hockey just like in sport.
Do you remember where you were for that game?
Yeah, I was at the Maple Leaf, the Canadian pub in Covent Garden. I took my brother. I want to say it's his first like full hockey game because he came to game 6 and 7 in 2011, but let's just say he'd had a few adult beverages beforehand because it started at 3 a.m.
and a pop of the wobbly variety.
Yeah, so he doesn't quite remember either of those games. So he came to game 8 and he was like, it was packed. There was maybe 2 Bruins fans, whole pub full of Canucks fans, and it was such great fun. He loved it.
I was at the Blue Canoe restaurant in Steeston. They opened early nice. For us and a few other patrons to watch because it was a matinee. It was like a
right, a which 10, is why or a I could 11 a.m. start. Watch it. It was like, yeah, evening
and,
for us.
And, you know, it game 8 delivered. It was
yeah,
because
there was a whole like Cody Hodgson like bar down. There was the Corey Schneider storyline in his hometown, and
yeah.
it was just great fun. And that's also why my brother was like a huge Corey Schneider fan. Like he didn't really understand the Luongo thing.
But you know, bring it back to the point that we sort of. You know, got derailed is that I do think you're right. Like, yeah, Bo might, Brock might. But even then, if they were to take a haircut as to what they would get on the market, I'm looking at sort of Cat Friendly here, and I kind of wonder how the Canucks make it work. Like, there's now a significant reliance on Lockwood, on Pod Colson. Like, you're almost hoping that it's possible. Maybe the Canucks, like, how well do the Canucks roll with the Petey? How well did the Canucks roll with the Hughes? How well do the Canucks roll with the Besser? Like, year after year after year, save for last year, they have had.
And even last year, you could.
Young player.
Say Nils Höglander ended up being, from camp, a second line talent.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, second line plus. So, Canucks have gotten so lucky hitting their ELCs. And well, what happened?
Like, that's the thing is that's where this team is now so reliant on hitting quote unquote jackpot. I mean, you can't continue to go back to the table, go all in, and continue to expect you're going to walk away with the money.
Tell that to Frankie. Like, he is coming back with just being like, "Yep, I'm still my pocket cards are still Jim Benning," and. I am still pushing all in on Jim Benning.
Hey, you know what? Good on you, Frankie. Like, let me tell you, this team is going all the way because there's no other way it can go.
Yeah, I'm really positive because even apparently making a joking, snarky comment about the seats gets you a lot of hate on Twitter.
I know.
I know. Like, what was the funniest to me was on Sunday when I hadn't responded. I maybe made a couple of responses, mainly to people I already know on Twitter. like on Friday night or the Saturday, but I posted that on Friday afternoon / evening. There was hockey dudes in my mentions on Sunday being like, who cares what you think? I'm like, well, clearly you're the one in my mentions arguing about it when I haven't said anything for 2 days. Oh, too funny.
I don't mean it. Hockey Twitter don't change. I want it to change. But...
yeah. Oh, it's just funny. Like, I did show some of my netball friends what was happening, and they were kind of half horrified, and I was just finding it funny.
You know, I look at it this way. So long as they still have those, like, maroon chairs with the Orca Bay Sports and Entertainment logo on them, until those folding chairs change, they ain't changing the seats in the bowl.
Yeah. Oh.
Like,
it's just grim.
I actually...
But at the same time, like, I mean, I can't wait to get back to those awful seats. Don't get me wrong, but it's just, to me, I find it funny that the idea that, like, Jim Benning would be responsible for that. That seems to be the concern of people in my mentions. Like, oh, they haven't even re-signed Petey and you want them to change the chairs? Like, I don't want Jim to do it. Like, I don't think that should be something he should be worrying about.
If I think Jim should do it. Save that money. I mean, Jim replace the seats, throw it into Petey Steele. So this type of, you know, wrinkly brain thinking you need to run a team.
Yeah, or call it team building and have the rookies do it.
There you go. Instead of the gross grind this year, we're going to go and reupholster the lower bowl. So while you were talking there, it got me thinking about the Orca Bay Sports and Entertainment brand. So again, for those who listen to the show and they remember Orca Bay Sports, this is like the name of the company that owned the Canucks before the Aquilini sort of became involved. Their branding technically has not existed since 2008. 2008 was when the company turned into Canucks Sports and Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking over a decade that these folding chairs with the Orca Bay logo have been in existence.
Well, yeah. I don't think they changed or even like deep cleaned the floors since then either.
Hmm.
It's pretty grim. Anyway. Yeah. I do think it has, like, Rogers is really well built in terms of, like, ice views, and it's got a lot of cool new restaurants and bars since the lockout. But, yeah, there's just some easy things I think you could fix.
Well, in fairness, that costs money, and it's not like the team has been making much of it as of late.
This is true.
But I don't think they would have changed the seats even if they were rolling in the dough.
I mean, yeah, I do think that Aquilini's, even though they are a very hospitality-based company, so I'm sure all their ventures have been losing money. But they do have quite a lot to lean on, let's say, in the reserves.
Well, you know, speaking about leaning on someone, Pod Colson's in town.
That was a bad segue, but I admire you.
I was going to say, the Canucks are going to have to lean on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, we've been listening to Chris Faber for a year.
Wait.
Talk about how good...
Faber talks about Pod Colson?
Yeah, you hadn't heard that?
No. I mean, occasionally I see him tweet the odd thing about him. Faber speaks Russian, right? Like, last season he was having conversations and asking questions in French. I expect that Faber's going to be asking questions in Russian this season.
Well, Google Translate speaks Russian, so I think that's what he's hoping for. But, like, good on him. He's just done a great job with, like, chasing prospects and stuff like that. But, yeah, it seems like the rumors are true. Obviously, we've seen, like, a 10-20 second clip of him on the ice. So we won't get carried away, but we are the Positive Podcast, so you know.
You know what? If let's get carried away.
He's okay.
Hit the ice and he's gonna be on fire. A Pod Colson on fire open, like, presuming Petey gets a contract, makes this Vancouver Canucks team suddenly deep in scoring threats. Like, I can't think, like, even, like, you have to go back a decade before we could even suggest that the team had multiple, you know, scoring threats. Like, we're now talking about potentially a three-line team.
I know. It's kind of amazing. I was looking at...
I don't mean three lines is like the fourth doesn't count. The fourth line is the line that you go and give safe minutes to and they get the job done.
Yeah,
three-line scoring threat. Exactly. That gives the fourth line the opportunity to do what they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, like, doing some reading about, like, you know, the interesting battles in camp. And honestly, like, the fact that you don't know where Podkolzin's going to fit in, it's like, that's exciting, right? Like, presuming we have the Lotto line back together, which I think you can probably bank on. I don't think Travis Green is in love with the idea of Miller as a third line center. But that's an option too. But yeah, presuming we got the Lotto line, but then you've got, like, Hoglander, Podkolzin, Pearson, Garland. Who am I missing? Dickinson. And this is all, like, trying to squeeze into six spots. Like, it actually could be, like, tough for once. And then, not to mention, like, the fourth line. I mean, it's going to be Jags.
DiGiuseppe.
But we have so many Jags now, and they're all paid like Jags because Sada has a new contract that actually fits his value.
The, let's see, Jag money. Well, okay, so was Mott a Jag?
Yeah.
I think we like him more than...
Yeah, but I think he's a character guy and, like, great advocate for mental health. Seems like... genuinely good guy, but I think he is, like, he's essentially a Jag.
Okay, so
in terms of his role on the team,
his 1.2 is Jag well spent.
I mean, maybe it's a little over what you want on him, but that's 1.2. It's, well, like, as long as you're under 1.5, like,
yeah, no, but like you know, the counter here, Tanner Pearson, 3.25, right? Like, I mean, yeah. Tanner, great guy, 3.25.
Yeah, that's a bit more yikes. So, yeah.
So, like, I think if, you know, Tyler at one point, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to your other point, right, you know.
Brandon Sutter's now on.
A 1.1.
1.1. Yeah, we got, you know, Zach McEwen, Justin Dowling, Philip DiGiuseppe, Justin Bailey, Matthew Highmore, all on, like, 8.25 or less.
Yeah. I mean, sure, you just go down to the blue line and... Myers and OEL pretty much.
Don't look at the blue line.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the blue line, scary.
What?
And lots of money, but...
Hey, you know what? If OEL, like, proves us all wrong, that is so awesome. He's well worth every penny of his $7.26 million contract.
But the thing is, we're trying to bet on three of our defensemen turning their careers around. Four, if you include Oli Juolevi.
Yeah, but Oli gets 750. If he turns his career around, that's excellent. And if he doesn't, if he's the next Biega, great.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, we're banking on three expensive defensemen having to completely... not do a 180, but kind of, like, rejuvenate their careers. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we paying Tucker Pullman $2.5 million?
Well, because, you know, he deserved it. Anyway.
Market value. You know,
looking at the roster, though, I mean... I'll be honest, like, it's the, you know, in the rundown you'd written, you know, Cavs start who's competing for a spot or a line promotion. And unlike previous years, I have some difficulty because of the number of new faces and where they all fit. Like, I think, you know, when we look at the roster, Lotto line, that's intact. I would have to suggest that Sutter is our fourth line center. Like, I don't see him losing that out to that. Hoglander's going to, unless he has a horrible count, is going to find his way into the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say a lot of line, but now I'm going to walk that back, because if Petey doesn't have a deal, that maybe opens up a spot.
Yeah. Well, you would think that.
Well, it does open up a spot if he doesn't have a deal. There's no maybe.
Yeah, of course. But, like, they'll probably push Miller into the first line center role just to keep that. Keep the spot warm. Maybe.
Garland's. He's got to be a lock on the second line.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah.
But then. Yeah, because we have, like, Podkolzin in trying to earn a spot in, as well. Mm-hmm. And he likes to play right wing, because I didn't know this was a thing that Russians like to play on their off wing. Did you know that? That's a thing in Russia.
Can't say I
didn't.
Because
he shoots left, but prefers to play right wing, which is weird to me. I mean, I used to prefer to play left back defense in football.
It's funny you bring that up. I'm right-footed, and I love the left side.
Yeah, I feel like I can see the pitch better. And that sounds mental. But it's true.
Some of my most prolific play was when I was on the left side of the pitch. Like, left. Like, I was a center back for the most part, and then as I got older, I became the defensive midfielder. But every so often, for whatever reason, I get put on as sort of left back, or like when crazy times left wing. Like, well, in fairness, I've always had size, but when I hit fitness, I essentially put fear into people because it was difficult to bring, like, to take the ball away from me once it was on my feet.
Yeah.
So.
It's true.
Just that I didn't have the pace that you necessarily want to.
Yeah, the left, like, backs or left wing tend to be pretty speedy and small.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, and that's the thing.
I can see it's being a really terrifying center midfielder. Like, just, yeah. I wouldn't like to play.
Yeah, I essentially, it was when I played center mid, we were playing essentially as like a five-man defensive front. I just happened to be the front of it.
Right.
So, anywho, off the rails we go.
Anyway, off the rails. Yeah. I always try and bring football into it. I'm sorry, that's the second football mention I've got in. But, yeah.
How's Arsenal doing?
As we said, bad. Really bad. But they won a game. They won a single game.
Tying it to the Vancouver Canucks, two teams that you currently support having a rough go at it.
Yeah, and currently, so Middlesex, I'm wearing a Middlesex shirt right now. So Middlesex are terrible, but they are doing well at the end of a terrible season.
See,
and
positive. We're a positive podcast.
There's a little dead cat bounce. And because there's no draft, it's not a bad thing that you win at the end of the season. So.
Live promotions.
I think in general, I think there's stuff to be positive about. And all the stuff we're saying about the D, it just makes it more exciting about, like, we don't know which combinations might work. The storylines.
I think you've sold me on this. I like that there is curiosity going into camp.
Yeah, right? I think so.
Yeah. I'm almost invested. Whereas in sort of previous seasons, it's like, oh, well.
Yep.
I mean, heck, this time last year, or this year, but I remember you, Matt, and I talking about, well, if this happens and that happens, hey, you know. Whereas now, maybe. I mean, there's still all these ifs, but we're like, nah, you know what? Less reliant on the ifs. Well, no, completely reliant on
also,
the ifs. Maybe it's just we're positive.
I was going to say that we're less likely now to have a certain player come in overweight, so probably won't have any players coming in overweight, underworked.
I believe this player is going to learn that that clear beverage, not always water. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, we'll take ourselves a short break here. Listen to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast and CanucksHockeyBlog.com on the Full Press Coverage Network.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
You know, listening to Marissa talk about the Kraken going into the season and where she sort of feels that they'll place themselves. If I understood her correctly, she's got them pegged as a sure thing for the playoffs because the Pacific Division is weak. Now, I don't think you nor I would suggest otherwise, but I found it quite interesting that the roster that Seattle has assembled is a sure playoff team.
I mean, that's kind of sad that it's not a completely crazy take to say that.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you know, consider, like, people like, well, Chris, Vegas, no problem. Like, they made a hell of a run, and I get it, but the Kraken aren't Vegas. Sure, they put together a much more successful team than, you know, eons of expansion ago where you got, you know, spare parts and that's all you could collect. But what really got me wondering is how she sold the Canucks short.
Yeah, because she's not as positive as us. Let's be real. Anaheim is still bad. Can they be as bad as this year? I don't know if you caught the threads on Twitter, but about how there were several players in the NHL who had outscored Anaheim in power play goals last year by themselves.
Sweet.
So, yeah, and how... So they're bad, and they're still bad. Will they be as bad as last year? Probably not. But they're still bad. LA are going to be a great team. They're not quite there yet. Yeah, Vegas are going to kick our butts, as always. Arizona just moved, so not our concern. But they're kind of a mess organization-wise. Although they do have Louis Erickson now, so.
Who is much happier to be out of the situation he was in with the Vancouver Canucks, so.
Yeah, God. Poor Louis getting himself into that situation.
Yeah, no kidding. At least he didn't come out and say his contract sucked.
Yeah. It's funny, because I feel like even people who say, you know, like, players want to sign the contracts they're given, I don't think there's as much sympathy for Louis Erickson, given how his form fell off a cliff. Anyway, what I'm saying is the Pacific Division is still pretty weak.
It is.
But I think Canucks are like middle of the pack of it.
Well, and see, this is the thing. When Marissa was sort of talking about it, like, I was like, I don't see Seattle being significantly better than Vancouver. I think they have a solid roster, but I feel that like the Vancouver Canucks, the Seattle Kraken,
the problem is the defense.
The Flames and the Oilers, but like it's there is a bunch of teams that arguably are all fighting for wild card.
Yeah, I mean what we're. Seattle are kind of the opposite of Vancouver in that they're much stronger at the back, whereas Canucks are just once again banking on our goalies doing the business. So If Thatcher hits, then great. But, yeah. We are thinking of, yes, taking a big chance and putting a lot on our goalie shoulders once again.
Well, that's the Canucks way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to, you know, wax poetic here. But I think the last time the Vancouver Canucks didn't rely on a goaltender for success would have been Dan Cloutier. That's not to suggest Dan didn't go and provide good performances. It's that the Canucks of that era were far less reliant on Dan providing, you know,
right, to varying degrees
gameplay. You look even like, I mean, not that the 2010-2011 team required a Luongo stand on his head, but as sort of that series went on with Boston, there is a reason why a Canucks win required a shutout.
For sure. I think Louis, definitely in the playoffs, and was one of the main reasons Canucks got as far as they did. Yeah. So,
and
but that's, I the mean, playoffs. Like, you kind of want your goalie to do that.
Louis, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, since then, we...
But start the season like that is just... That's the terrifying thing.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan Miller, we need you to stand on your head and provide us, you know, Vezina-like goaltending for us to succeed. Hey, Marky, we need you to stand on your head and provide Vezina-like goaltending for us to succeed. Hey, Thatcher, we need you to... Like...
I mean, even Holtby, who didn't have the season he wanted to have, he had performances where he was keeping Canucks in the quote-unquote playoff race, yeah, like near the back end of the season.
Yeah. So
what he did was prolong the inevitable, but, you know.
But no, but that's the thing. Is like I think the Canucks are they are so reliant on the goaltender. And, and you know, how the performance of the netminder plays out is how well the team will succeed. And even in the bubble, the Canucks made it a series because Vegas got themselves Demcoed.
Yeah. I mean, right, and like, let's be real, that was three games. Three amazing games, but three games. And Markey was, like, putting on a clinic before then, too.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Like,
it's, you know, they could have, in fact, one might suggest if Markey doesn't get hurt, and this is not knocking Demko, because he Demkoed the hell out of Vegas,
mm-hmm,
might Markey have been that just bit more that got them that extra.
Right. I mean, if they got to the Western Conference Final, they did not deserve to be there. In a way, they did, but they didn't, if that makes sense. Like, they definitely weren't good enough, but...
You know, but bringing it to present day, you've got Halak backing up Demko. Presuming Halak's backing up Demko, I don't think DiPietro...
No, I think they want to really push DiPietro and make him play a lot of the games for the Abbey Canucks. The other Canucks, yes. I think he would be playing the line share to get him promoted the year after.
Yeah. But, I mean, if Thatcher goes and stands on his head and gives Vezina like quality games, the firepower up front, this team can score. I mean, on paper, they can score. I mean, the proof will be on the ice once the season starts. So...
Yeah.
See, the thing, like, I feel like going back to sort of when I was listening to that episode, like, I think people are potentially sleeping on a Canucks team, but I'm not suggesting they're going to go and win the division. I'm simply suggesting they're going to be competitive and...
Yeah.
It's.
I mean, you're right, but, like, I'm just even looking at the bubble season... But at the start of that season, I think we all said they were, I'm going to have to use the same word. They were a bubble team. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what that meant at the time, but we thought at the start of that season that the Canucks were going to, like, be pushing for the playoffs. Would they make it? We didn't know, but they were, like, going to be on that precipice there, which they turned out to be, only making the playoffs with a points percentage. So, we were, like, right about that, and I think you're right about this team. It's just I don't think we can count them as a playoff team in the sense that it matters. Like, well, they're a playoff team and there's that they might make the playoffs.
But that,
anything can happen.
You know, and that is true. Once you're in, anything can happen. Montreal Canadiens, for example. I mean, granted, North was guaranteed to field a team that could potentially make that all work out, but the Canadiens ran with that. They built things up until they got to the Stanley Cup final. I'm maybe not as down as one might think. I just feel that the Canucks, you're right, they're going to be competitive. I don't think people should sleep on them. And if the Seattle Kraken are considered, hey, they should be able to get in, beginning a playoff spot, I feel that that spot should be as interchangeable as it is with the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I think you're right. And honestly, the only thing is that I think it's going to be absolutely exhausting watching this team this season, even when they win. I think it's going to be one of those seasons that just... so frustrating to watch with their defensive mistakes, and then Demko bails them out again. I think there's going to be a lot of that.
Well, the one thing we do know is that for you or I to go in and watch into the Vancouver Canucks action this season will require that we are fully vaccinated. We've talked about this in previous episodes. Well, yeah, you and I both are. But, you know, we've talked about how in the lead up to sort of this declaration that happened to the province of BC, which mandates, like, it took discussion out of the Vancouver Canucks' hands. I feel the Vancouver Canucks would have gone and made this statement anyway. The Winnipeg Jets had done that. When you had spoken to Marissa, it was just after BC had announced live events will require full vaccination. In fact, you have to flash a vaccine passport to gain entry. But, you know, Bo came out and shared his thoughts, which I think was quite compelling, because we've seen across professional sports, opinions vary as to whether or not vaccination should be mandated. I know in the Canadian Football League, a Canadian Football League player who... I don't know if it was he broke protocol, but he was not vaccinated. He got cut by the team and has been essentially placed on the league don't want you list.
Oh, that list, yeah.
In the NFL,
that's a bad list to be on.
The NFL's come down and said, "Hey, if you're not vaccinated and your team runs into COVID protocol issues, one, that's not a football-related injuries, so there's no pay there. And two, the team could very well be punished with a forfeit." NHL has come along similarly, where it's not considered a hockey-related injury, I believe.
Yeah, so you don't get paid if you miss any games due to COVID-related issues. And that includes...
if you're not vaccinated.
If you can't, if you're not vaccinated. And that includes not being able to get into Canada.
Well... But that's the thing, it's like if you're not vaccinated, by the way, when you travel or wherever, and this is like in U.S. or in Canada.
Yeah, within the country.
You get to go to your hotel room, you get to go to the rink, you don't get to go anywhere else. Bo came out and shared his thoughts. And just to sort of take this quote from the article on Sportsnet, he hedges. He said, considering everything's gone on, there's obviously different situations that people could put in. And they can be vaccinated or not. Okay. Captain Bo speaking, you know, somewhat politically there. But for me, if you're able to get vaccinated, I think you should. I've had COVID before, and it's no joke. This vaccine works, and it's helping people not get sick. I got it right away as soon as I could. So I encourage everybody to go get it. I think it'll get the world back to normal. Hopefully guys realize that and go get vaccinated for everybody's safety and health and their family's health. You have to think, if the captain of your team is telling you that you need to get vaccinated, that the Vancouver Canucks are probably going to find within the locker room a whole lot of peer pressure to make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said, for example, that I don't understand any Canucks player who's not wearing a visor, because how can you see what Manny Malhotra went through and have him as a coach and not wear a visor? But how can you go through...
Hockey culture.
Right. But how can you go through what the Canucks went through or see at close quarters like people around the league did last year and not get vaccinated if you're able to. It seems like a very straightforward decision to me. But yeah, as you say, like, Bo's a captain. He's a very strong voice in that team. He's the NHLPA rep and very strong, I think, in the NHLPA in general. So, yeah. Hopefully that pushes any lingering doubters. I don't understand how you could see what the world has gone through, but, like, Canucks in particular, and not make that commitment.
Yeah, but I, you know, had the province not gone and mandated it, I'm pretty confident the Canucks would have required it. I mean, the NHL has essentially structured it in such a way that everyone within the organization, save for the actual players, need to be vaccinated. We've seen coaches essentially lose their job because they've, and other people in the hockey operation side, have to step away from the game because they've chosen not to get vaccinated. Like, they, you know, for anyone who might be listening to the show saying, well, that's heavy-handed. Well, it comes down to, a safe work environment.
Yeah, the reality of the world we live in. I mean, if you're in BC or even Alberta and you've seen the scenes today at hospitals and at the city hall here in Vancouver, it's madness, honestly, and just punishing those who are heroes who are trying to help us out of this crisis. So, yeah. It's an interesting time we live in.
It is. The other sort of note that shocked me, actually, from that article on Sportsnet, we knew that Bo had COVID. I mean, he talked about it. We had heard stories how he is, in isolation from his family. His dad sort of spoke about it. But what I didn't realize is both Holly and Gunner tested positive and contracted it too.
Right.
Like, this is his entire family got it. And, you know, it went through the Canucks locker room like wildfire. We saw this hit the Canucks worse than it hit really any other team in the league. And I think, you know, for those of you who listen to our show who might be Canucks fans, are like, you know, this is, it's, you know, just a flu. It's not that bad. I can assure you there's an entire team you could probably speak to right now that would tell you how bad it is.
And these are, like, highly physically fit athletes.
Yeah.
Top of their game, so.
Yeah, like, I'll be the first to say, I'm not.
Yeah, neither. I mean, if anyone of our patrons caught our pre-game, our pre-record stream, we complained about how sore we were from doing activity, so.
Yeah.
We are not at the peak of physical fitness, it must be said. So, yeah, this is a serious deal. Seems like Canucks are taken seriously, but also it does seem like the players in general are, like, I think the NHLPA said they're at, like, 95% vaccination.
Which, color me surprised.
Yeah, honestly, there's some backwards people in NHL, like, hockey culture and all that, so, but hopefully they're taking it seriously, even if it's just making their day-to-day lives easier and being able to participate in the team. If that's what's convinced them, fine.
Well, that's the thing, like, considering that, like, when we talk about hockey culture every episode, it's just, it's amazing to see the percentage like that within this league. So, I mean, heaven forbid, if we ever understand this culture that we talk about. Anywho, you know, we'll talk about it again next week and the week after that, the week after that, and that, and that, and that. Speaking of which, we are back to weekly episodes, this time for the truth.
Yeah, not some misguided mutterings. Misinformed.
I like, you and I had actually chatted before I'd listened to the episode. And so when I listened, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing was, we had actually talked about it, like, before the episode, because we had confirmed dates. We had talked about Labor Day and me moving and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. And yet,
here's Anna promising and making
false promises.
Yeah. But we are back weekly. We'll be back next week.
Yes.
For sure.
For real.
Not a lie. We might have Petey and Quinn deals as we let off the show that are going to be announced when this episode goes live. Maybe we should do what Quads
if that does happen, does. Like
have an emergency episode.
If that does happen, someone has to like buy us drinks because we manifested that. If either Quinn or Petey gets announced tomorrow, like you guys owe us drinks. I'm just saying.
Hey. Okay, I went and answered my own questions. I just said Quads and Faber, and I'm like, wait, I saw them tweet three mics, but I see that Harm joined them.
Yep. Harm and Dial's going to be a regular contributor now, so three amigos. You know,
if we take the collective ages of Faber, Quadrelli,
no, don't think about it.
Dial,
nope. Nope. I don't
does that still add up to one Chris?
I mean, Faber's Faber's not that young. He's like late 20s, 27, 28.
I mean.
The other two are just scary, talented children.
I wish I had their moxie and their talent when I was their age.
Yeah. I remember, I think, like, being at an event and we had to, like, buy Harm drinks because he was 18. I mean, we didn't do that because that's legal, whatever, but... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a joke. Feds, don't come for me, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho.
Anywho. Believe in the youth.
Yeah. I will admit I was a little disappointed that when Quads was away and Faber had guest hosts that you or I didn't slide in.
No,
I don't know. I didn't get an invite. Maybe they invited you and you turned them down.
I did not.
Yeah. That we should probably have another feud. Connect conversation, trust the process, and C4. Big feud.
Yeah, it could be like the news anchor feud. Mm-hmm.
The news anchor feud.
In Anchorman.
I know, it's just that you describe it as the news anchor feud as opposed to Anchorman feud.
All right.
Which is the same thing.
Yeah. I think it's time to end the episode, don't you think, Chris?
It is. You can find us online, obviously, at the C4 Podcast on Twitter. We are at facebook.com/C4Podcast. And if you ever wanted to check us out and take part in conversation on Discord, discord.io/C4Podcast. Been a while since we had a review.
Oh, yeah.
Or a good review.
That'd be good.
We had a bad review.
Good review would be nice.
I apologize for that. I think you're going to see us do some cool things this season. But if you got ideas that you want us to tackle, please share them with us. Myself or Anna, we'd be happy to entertain the thoughts. We're going to be getting guests on. I kind of want to explore topics that aren't always sort of Canucks related. I think.
Yeah. Especially as the season goes on.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not all going to be Kraken, Kraken, Kraken. Although.
No.
I think you'll find it'll be Canucks number one, Kraken probably at number two, but then all sorts of other topics.
Yeah. All kinds of things. Like more broader hockey topics and World of Hockey and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But yeah, if you have anything you want us to cover, you come find us on Discord.
Any final words of wisdom you want to share with all the listeners there, Anna?
Manifest PD and Quinn deals. Make it happen. I'm just putting that thought in and positive vibes into the universe.
Good on you. Positive vibes, manifestation of contracts only. My words of wisdom, don't kick the corner of a chest freezer with your left foot and or big toe.
Smart.
It is starting to hurt now.
Yikes.
Which I think...
At least you have ice now.
Yeah, that's true. If you're listening to the show, you missed out on IOTA because it's for patrons only, which is our video pre-show anyhow. I kicked a freezer. I just realized. I mean, to me, it's been one fluid time together here, but
yeah, but it's a good life lesson.
Yeah. So So on behalf of Anna Forsyth at eForsyth0 through myself, Chris at Lightforce, I'm going to sign off this episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com with We Out.